Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Odafest podcast. I'm Nancy, and I'm here with Angelo and Jay.
Hello.
I'm Angie.
And we... and Jay. And we have so many announcements for you. Prepare yourself.
We watched so much anime.
And we have news.
About anime conventions. Everyone knows you gotta catch some Z's to restore HP. And that's especially so at Odafest. Book your stay at our partner hotels for Odafest 2026. Rooms are limited. So book quickly and secure your stay. A direct link will appear on January 12, 2026 at 7 p.m.
Guess what? Cosplay contest and showcase applications are now open. Now's your chance to show off your amazing skit and performance skills. Or dazzle the judges with that new secret technique handed down by the secret bloodline of the Hidden Village that you learned for your cosplay. Get in here, odafest.com/cosplay.
And if you're looking for something to do during Odafest, you should consider applying to judge one of our many events. We've got something for everyone. Craftsmanship, skits, idols, even this cosplay thing. Sounds pretty Canadian, eh? Anyway, let's go off to odafest.com/judge. Applications close on March 1st.
It's time to get on stage and show them your stuff. Make debut at Odafest's Idol Festival. The next frontier awaits you. Rules and applications are open. odafest.com/idol-festival. Apps end April 1st.
Do you like it when music syncs up to fight scenes? Do you think that anime and Linkin Park should be in the same room? Time to submit your vision and get in on the Odafest AMV contest. Share your anime music video for all to see. Information and applications here via odafest.com/AMV. Applications for that close on April 3rd.
Yippee! That's all our news and announcements for today.
Sweet golly, that was a lot of news.
We had literate 5 weeks of no news.
Fair. Totally fair.
Yeah, those are the holiday announcements. That's also a lot of deadlines. Holiday announcements all condensed.
Yeah. We're now... It's like we were busy during the holidays or something.
Yeah, heavy
into
2026.
We're now into deadline season. Yeah.
Oh, real. Oh my God, real.
And you know what else was due a little while ago that we only just had time to do? The anime season review, where we watch the first episode-ish of each one of the ones that we picked last time we did the preview.
Oh my God, but the winter season has already started. I've already watched several anime from winter. And now we're finally getting into fall. Let's go, baby!
I know. Shush, it's fine.
First off, life
feel that way.
First off, we've got Ninja versus Gokudo by Studio Dean. This was a little surprising to me, probably because I went in with literally no expectations.
It was
right. I did too. I also went into this with no expectations. It felt incredibly campy. In that I need to explain and make sure that the audience, which is extremely distractible, knows exactly what's happening with everything on the screen right now. We got to remind everybody that the main character can't smile.
5 or 6 times over the course of 20 minutes.
Ugh, so much.
So much.
And of course, as the episode is going on, we're all like, oh, these two are going to be sworn enemies. Like, it's so obvious. They set it up in the first 30 seconds of the episode.
They really do.
Like, the episode starts off with our boy, whose name I can't remember, but he's blonde and he's a very muscly little twink, catching a cell phone of some businessman and being like, ah, I see that you too, like the sexy goth lady from this anime. It would be a shame if something were to happen to such a splendid cell phone case. Please, take this cell phone case and go on your way, Mary, sir. And the salaryman was like, ah, I see you're a man of culture as well. We should have lunch. It would be fantastic.
And over the course of this lunch, the next time they meet, and several other interactions, we as the audience are reminded, this lovely blonde boy can't smile.
Or laugh. And I just want to be very clear.
The thing where, like, he fishhooks his mouth. He double fishhooks his own mouth to, like, pull it up in some facsimile of a smile.
I just want to make sure that you understand. Okay. You know what a Mary Sue character is? Where you, like, it's yeah, a very sure. much like a self-insert character.
Very much a Haruhi Suzumiya.
Kind of. Like, it's a character that is, like, written to be very relatable for the audience. This audience happens to be, like, very edgy.
To put on and wear.
Very edgy, very high school level of character depth. But they managed to do something. Instead of being the Mary Sue character, I became the Mary Sue audience member in that I also did not smile or laugh during the episode.
Wow.
Rude.
I was really put off by the animation. I think Jay was the one who mentioned it. It was kind of JoJo-esque, but like
it's
not
Timu JoJo.
Really?
Timu JoJo.
It's Timu JoJo and like heavily dosaged amounts of how to draw manga style.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you flip through one of those old tutorial art books. Look, everybody's got to start somewhere, but you're supposed to develop your art style from that point and not just remain there.
Like, I hate to say this. I hate to say this because there are actually like some really good things I can say about it. This is Studio Dean doing Studio Dean things. And I'm going to eat those words when we talk about the winter anime because something fucking weird happened. But this is Studio Dean doing Studio Dean things. It is ugly to look at. It is visually unpleasant. And I say that this is one of the very few anime that gets past the anime same face curse. Like, every single character that we saw actually had a completely different facial style, facial shape. Like, there was a lot of variance among the characters. Like, they were all distinct, and I really like to say that. But despite that, it was bad to look at.
I will say, Grandpa had some of the nicest looking lashes I'd ever seen.
Oh, Grandpa was a fucking... Hell yeah, Grandpa. Oji-san was on point.
Grandpa's about to get Uncle Ben, though.
I don't know. We didn't watch past episode one, but we just sort of assume that's going to happen based on the very obvious tropey way that the story is being set up.
I can't honestly recommend this show for anybody. Like, I can't think of a single person I would want to be like, you like these things. Now let me introduce you to Ninja versus Gokudo. I cannot. There's nothing.
I wouldn't recommend it. But I also didn't, like, hate it.
Oh, I didn't hate watching it.
I agree.
I've watched worse shows than this in the last week and thought, I'm going to keep watching this.
Yeah, it wasn't memorable, maybe, is what I'm looking for.
It's very plain somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. So there's this one scene where our ninja lad was decapitating a bunch of Yakuza, or Gokudo, I should say. And all of the Gokudo, after they got decapitated, they would start speaking in like a Looney Tunes-esque way. Like, it's like, oh my god, Oni-chan, Aniki, you got decapitated, you're dead. But wait, Aniki, I see that your head has also been removed from your body. And they're just these floating heads in the air. And I'm just sitting here thinking, wait a minute, if they don't have lungs, how are they speaking?
It was very Looney Tunes. Anyway, wouldn't recommend.
If you're 14, I think you will like this.
Yeah, it's just goofy enough, you know?
If you look at Cold Steel the Hedgehog and think teleports behind you, nothing personnel, kid, is compelling, then watch Ninja versus Gokudo. That's what I'll say.
That's fair. We've mentioned this in the past. We are a group of adults that don't fall into the 14-year-old anime watching demographic, so our tastes align with each other a lot more than with that group.
True.
Or another way of putting it is the anime we enjoyed is also 14 years old now.
True.
Very true.
Very all right. True. I think with that, it's enough to start moving on to Shumatsu Touring, or Touring After the Apocalypse.
Hell yeah.
That one's by Nexus. It's got immaculate vibe energy. It's something that we've seen before, in a sense, because I just feel like the genre is coming to a certain level of I don't want to
maturity.
Yeah, like
I have seen.
It feels
this
repeated a little.
Exact anime with a completely different color palette before. Like I have seen the polar opposite of this anime with the literal same premise. And I really liked it last time. I'm not sure if I would like it this time. I was actually kind of interested in watching this one, and then I never ended up watching it until now. And the vibes that it give off are really hopeful, really cheery, really interesting. The complete opposite of the last time I watched two girls on a motorcycle traveling through the apocalypse. Girls Last Tour, or... Shoujo Shumatsu Ryoko.
We also reviewed something similar a while back in Train
About
to the End of the
World. A bunch of girls taking a train through the apocalypse.
Yeah, the train apocalypse girls.
Yep, there's like six or seven of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's a story that doesn't feel very original. Theoretically, I should enjoy this. Very cozy vibes. They're, you know, cute, very slice of life feeling, and the story is sort of shown rather than told to you, which I like it when they don't just have to straight up describe what they're seeing. And oh, don't you remember when we did that one time? And you know, they kind of interact like real people would. Theoretically, I would enjoy this. It's just, it does feel like this exact storyline has been done already.
The other thing is I'm having difficulty watching from the first episode. I'm having difficulty trying to figure out what the timeline is. Like the environmental storytelling isn't working for me. If you look around at everybody or at the environment, it is an environment that has not seen human maintenance in something like 40, 50 years. Long ass time.
If a tree grows through a store with a broken roof, and that's how it gets its sunlight, we're not talking like a small short tree. We're talking about full canopy, like not huge trunk, but like, you know, again, you can imagine that it's not just a twig. It's not a 10-year thing that happens.
Time lapse.
You know?
Yeah. And then in the flashbacks that we see of the main character girl, she doesn't seem to have aged terribly much.
But she says she had to escape from a shelter.
Yeah. Like, to come see the world.
I like the world. I just don't understand. But I agree with Angelo entirely. I don't understand the time. And I hate to say it, but for these kinds of shows... timing is like establishing that era
is important,
essentially.
Yeah,
right. Is kind of important. It's not just about the visual of it. It is about the timeline.
Now,
because you want to know what happens.
That might be a problem of us only watching the first episode. Maybe this is an anime that really does take the 3-episode test to enjoy. Because we were watching the first 30 seconds of it, and we were all like, oh, this is very aesthetic. This is very cool. A girl on, like, a dirt bike rides into a gas station.
Is like,
oh, wow, I can't believe I'm seeing an actual, not only a combustion vehicle, it's even got a carburetor. This thing's a real old beast. And she's like, yeah, it's an antique. And then we see the girls like, I'm just here wondering, so when is the Shumatsu starting to happen? When is this apocalypse going on? And then it just literally does like a frame wipe and shows like all of the roads overgrown with bushes and trees and stuff. And I'm like, okay. I wonder if they're going to ever show off how, in an end-of-the-world scenario, an electric bike, like an e-bike, is unironically goaded, since gas isn't being made anymore, and they could literally just unfold a solar panel to refuel. And then they literally do that, and I'm like, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
But then...
And then they put rocks on it. I was like, no, you absolutely don't want to put rocks on a solar panel. What the heck?
Well, there's that, but I was also thinking about the other technology that doesn't really... I mean, again, we're in the first episode. It doesn't really make sense yet. Like, there's a cell phone that seems...
Cell phone network.
Yeah, cell phone network.
Yeah,
but then we also see that there's a grid of satellites. Not even just a grid. There was like at least 15, maybe 20 in those links in the sky, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
It was like a solid grid.
You would need to, like, that's maintenance. My bet is that they're not the apocalypse survivors. They're a set of apocalypse survivors. And someone else, somewhere else, is maintaining infrastructure.
Yeah. It's really just a matter of, the world hasn't exactly ended. It's just that the population is a lot lower. It seems like they're really hinting that it's due to war. And we'll see how it goes. I kind of feel like I want to continue watching it, but at the same time, I'm not compelled to watch it. You know what I mean?
I feel the same way.
And the worst part is, like, I think the only compelling story beat in that first episode is the fact that her companion,
travel partner is a robot.
Yeah, is an android of some kind. I don't know if she's a battle robot, I guess.
Yeah, she went full Mega Man.
If she's not a battle robot, she's at the very least a fucking artillery robot. Like, goddamn.
She had an entire energy cannon in her arm. I mean...
And then I'm going to point out the other thing. She gets hungry, like she experiences hunger. You are not going to power or recharge a laser cannon through conventional food.
What's
the
really
kilojoules required?
Eat rations.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like the way that scientists calculate calories on food, they literally explode it. They see how much explosive energy is in the food. And so, when your girl has a giant destroy everything in that general direction cannon, that cannon, you can actually convert its energy output into calories. Your girl, to fire her cannon once, would probably have to eat an entire farm.
She would have to go to, like, an all-you-can-eat and stay there for 2 days.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it was really interesting to me too. Like, they found rations in an old army supply truck, and they found some that were chocolate flavored, and the way they ate them, it was like they were eating a chocolate cake. I'm like, that can't be an accurate description.
No.
But we don't know the timeline. It could be that this is only 2 years and MREs can last 2 years.
Do you think trees grow in 2 years?
So I did look it up.
Small
like
trees
a spruce
grow.
Tree. It's a softwood tree that does grow really fast. You can get one like full grown in about 20 years, but that's still a lot longer than like canned food lasts. You know what I mean?
Maybe they're
anyway,
both androids.
Confusion aside. Would you recommend this?
I think that people could enjoy it. Like, the vibes were good. I just feel like this is one of those anime where you watch it during the season, you enjoy it, it ends, and then you never think about it again.
Yeah.
I would recommend it to you if you've never seen this type of storyline before.
Yeah. All of these things are true. It's not bad. The animation is nice to look at. It's, again, immaculate vibes. Kind of ideal. There's nothing bad about it. It's just not amazing.
They do imply in the show that like Mount Fuji blew up because it looks totally different from what it looks like right now.
Yeah,
and maybe that's tied
volcano.
to Yeah, and maybe that's tied to story development, but we won't know until we get a lot further in.
Guess I'll never know.
Let's just take Shumatsu Turing. Let's take Shumatsu Turing, gender bend the main character, and completely get rid of the motorcycle, right? Now we have Tora no Yugure.
And you wake up knowing nothing.
Yeah.
At some indeterminate time in the future.
Oh, I mean, I already wake up not knowing anything, so... And I just live
so
in the present.
So there is an episode zero for Toa no Yugure that I think is a really good watch, but mm-hmm. episode one of the anime actually gives you a much better feeling of what is going on. So Nancy and Jay haven't seen episode zero.
Nope.
So without that context, my take on it doesn't 100% make sense. But I really like the vibes. I really like the animation. The character design throughout the series is so interesting because you've got a whole bunch of people who look like they're basically wearing like tribal outfits alongside Jesse and James from Pokemon. The entire government dresses like Jesse and James from Pokemon.
You mean Team Rocket?
Yeah,
Team Rocket.
Well, not Team Rocket, because Team Rocket and Jesse and James have their own aesthetic, right?
Okay, first of all,
there's a difference.
The guy.
When I say Jesse and James, I mean Jesse and James.
First of all, the guy looks like a Gokudo character.
He does. He really does.
Second of all, his outfit looks like Zap Brannigan's outfit. Okay.
He's such a caricature, too. Like, he really embodied the I'm a fucking bully. I'm a really big bully.
Oh, my God. Energy. All of the Orwell guys are.
Yeah.
Literally all of them are that bad.
It was just so caricaturized that it was hard to take the guy seriously.
So over the top. Like, that the villains, despite being, like, super villains, it's hard to take them seriously.
It's true. Because, like, for context, they are, like, the ruling world government type of authority sort of evil. But this guy is that stupid, cruel kind of antagonist. And by stupid, mm-hmm. cruel, we mean not, like, he's overly cruel. Yeah, he is overly cruel, but he's cruel for, like, literally stupid reasons. Like, he doesn't... It doesn't really make sense why he has to exert his power in that way.
Yeah.
But it's also very fun to watch him get absolutely atomized in uh-huh. scientifically accurate ways because he burns first.
Oh, yeah.
In the second episode of the day where we get to see a girl with a cannon for an arm.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
She's very Saikano coded because her extremely. Like she's very much an ultimate weapon design.
You say that? She literally is. She and her 11 sisters were ultimate weapons.
Oh.
Okay.
Spoiler.
11 sisters.
She's got 11 sisters. And all of them look them like our main character's dead wife.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I can see that. I mean, the whole thing with the new marriage.
Mm.
New marriage.
Exactly.
I don't know how to explain it.
This show actually does a lot for its world building. Like, it is so interesting. The animation is great. The character designs are fantastic. The villains are really campy, but I can get over that because everything about it is gorgeous. And what I hate about it is that everything that is at the core feels bad to me. Like, our boy's wife, Mrs. Towasa, she's basically just anime-fied girl Sam Altman. She is literally a tech bro CEO.
Huh.
In episode zero, our girl Towasa is going up on stage to give a talk about AI and how it's going to like revolutionize the world and do a whole bunch of other stuff. And there's like a guy who's like, you are going to literally bring the end of the human race because of replacing humans because of work and creativity and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm just watching this being like, no, I literally see this guy's side. I'm actually here for the gut. I'm on the side of the assassin here.
That's saying something.
With the way that current world, with current things going on in the world, I really hate the way that AI, the AI industry, has changed everything around computing.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me.
To the point where I cannot enjoy this otherwise good anime.
Aw. That is a really bad thing to happen. AI is now ruining our anime enjoyment.
Yeah.
Did I mention... Wait,
unironically, yeah.
Did I mention the RAM thing? When I bought my computer recently?
About... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about it last time.
Doubled the costs. Crazy shit. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, RAM is awful. Now about quadruple the cost, so double the cost is the old number.
Yeah, I guess so, hey?
Yeah.
I'm crying on the inside.
But, like, otherwise, it's really fun. It really is fun, and having watched the first episode again, there's a lot of foreshadowing that happens later in the series. Like, how our boy Akira... he's first approached by these two characters and they're babbling in some incomprehensible language, and then suddenly he recognizes they're Japanese speaking. How does that happen, do you wonder?
Yeah, I did wonder about that.
I thought about it.
Whatever you thought is probably correct.
I decided to shelve that for a little bit just for later.
I legitimately forgot about that until just now. And it comes relevant in, like, 10 episodes later.
Oh, my God. 10 episodes?
This show, especially PA Works, this is the PA Works style, they really beat around the bush sometimes. They really take their time developing their characters before getting on with the plot.
Mm.
But it works in here. They really do their best to make you fall in love with a lot of the characters. And they give them the screen time they deserve. Even the characters where you're like, you are making all of the dumbest decisions you possibly can. I understand why you're making them, because they've developed your character to the point where I understand why you're making them, but God, they're stupid, and you are going to regret this. And then they regret it, because they're stupid.
You have to ask yourself if you're enjoying watching them regret it, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, is that something you really want to live through, or is that something that you could take that time back and watch something else in the season?
Something like, that nobody will ever regret.
Like, may I ask for one final thing? 最後に一つだけお願いしてもよろしいでしょうか? This is something that I just enjoyed because I saw the trailer. You know, that like little 15-second trailer that you get. And I was like, I gotta watch this. She's gorgeous. She's got the white hair. She punches things. Hell yeah. And in the first 2 minutes, 3 minutes of the actual first episode, I got really Remarried Empress vibes. She had the red dress on. She was having her engagement broken off. In Remarried Empress, it was just the emperor asked for divorce instead. But in this one, it didn't get that far. It was just, hey, we're engaged, but I'm gonna peace out of that and marry this tart here. And it was just like, oh, and then she punches. Ooh, I wanna watch this. It's great.
It's so good.
It, like, the first episode is perfect. Like, no notes. There's absolutely nothing I could have added to the first episode.
True. It delivers. It delivers on every beat. Like,
I know.
It's not even a pun to say it delivers on every beat, because it's not like it leaves you with any... it gives you a little backstory. It gives you some history, some character development, the reasoning why the character is the way she is. And then she delivers the blows, baby.
So
I have watched this show a few episodes in. I haven't finished it yet. I will say, this show is a little bit more liberal with, like, the bloodiness, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Like, it's not gory. You're not seeing anybody's guts get punched out of them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure once or twice we actually see some teeth flying. I can't remember. Maybe I'm just making that up. But when our girl, Scarlet Elvendimion, goes through and punches people, you see blood splatters, blood splashes on her, and she's so happy about it. Oh my god. This anime is a bunch of people who think they are going to win. Giving our girl Scarlet some righteous indignation, and then she just acts on it the most appropriate way.
Mm-hmm.
With fists.
She punches him.
Mm-hmm. It's
and punches the tart.
If you, so when Angelo and I first picked episodes and this trailer came up, I showed him what I believe was the most apt comparison I could think of. And Nancy, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there is a Nintendo Switch game, and it's like a, it plays like a visual novel, except there's combat in this visual novel in the way of slapping. I can't remember the name of the game now. I'm gonna have to look it up. But
if I remember right, it goes insane.
Yes, like it's not just like
ladies slapping ladies. Suddenly they're slapping basketball players. Am I right in thinking she slapped a whale at one point?
I think you have to also slap across multiple people at one point, right?
Possibly.
That was almost certainly a thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
It's okay. Called Rose and Camellia. I've never played it. I've only ever watched, I think I saw it as part of a Nintendo Direct once, but I've never played it. But it's stuck with me. And I feel like I should try and play it one day because, again, it's stuck with me.
This year, we should play that as part of our extra life.
Oh, apparently, it's also on the App Store? What?
Okay. That makes it very accessible.
Yeah.
I just typed no Nintendo slapping game.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm gonna look into that. Thanks for letting me know.
Yes.
Sometimes you just need to let the rage out in productive ways.
Righteous fury.
Righteous fury.
Righteous fury.
The only thing that I can say about this anime, it is very, very otome trope filled.
Mm.
Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse.
Mm.
In the middle of the series, like I want to say from episodes maybe 4 to like 8 or 9,
that's where I am right now.
It
dang
feels
it
slow. It feels really like it's dragging its heels.
I personally do not like the quote-unquote romance that is currently developing.
Oh, the romance between our blonde prince and what's her name.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, I'm going to spoil it. It basically goes nowhere.
Okay, thank you.
He and her, they don't change. They are so very much, he looks at her like an animal in the zoo.
Yep.
He looks at her like an animal in the zoo in the best way. He's like, oh my god, you're like a tiger right now. Oh my god, you're so cute.
You are adorable.
So interesting. And she wants to fall in love because she's like a noble woman. That's a thing that she wants to do. And then all the men in her life are just garbage.
Including her brother?
Well, her brother is just her brother. She can't fall in love with him.
Well, yeah,
I understand,
but I mean,
this is anime, and that's asking a lot sometimes for women not to fall in love with their brothers.
In fairness.
But no, this is
sane anime. We're in 2026 now. It's not the dark days of 2008, something like that. Those are bad times.
The animation is somewhere between my bureaucratic father who becomes a villainess and, like, I don't know, pick something in the middle somewhere. Like, animation is just good enough for this to be an animation about a really pretty girl who goes around punching people because they deserve it. It's good.
Yeah, the animation, it is not Toa no Yugure. Like, that one is really well animated. This, it's just seasonal anime. It is...
It's
not exactly low budget. It's medium budget.
It's better than Ninja versus Kokuda.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah, I think that one definitely fell on the lower end for me.
Yeah, but it's certainly not X-Arm.
No, not quite that bad.
It is.
You know what's...
But yeah.
I think that everybody would enjoy it. I really do.
What? What's also not X-Arm?
We have Gang Lion.
Gangrion.
Gangrion.
Yeah. Weird show.
Very weird.
Kind of a left field show. Like... It's weird in very multiple aspects. It's another short format show. We gave it the three-episode treatment because it's three-minute episodes.
I feel like Jay and I got exactly what we expected out of it. They were 3 minutes, yeah.
Wow,
Jay and I got exactly what we expected out of it. But at the same time, the humor was just bad.
It's both very dry and very, like, it's kind of observational, but in the way that it tells you it's being observational.
Yeah. Like, the whole premise is we have this guy who his job is being a minion for the big bad villain guy. But aside from that, he is literally in the position of a regular office worker. Like, he's a salaryman. The news reports about what his company is doing, and his company is just using a giant fan to spread cedar spores around Tokyo. Pollen, that's right.
Yeah.
And everybody's
just
like...
Just flaring up everyone's allergies.
Just like, oh, this is normal stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they just report on it on the news. Like, it's a company doing their regular operational business. And he goes home to his wife. He takes the train home. He has to go through really, really crowded trains all the time rush hour, like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Like, he sometimes has to stay late at work and has to go grab food out before he goes home.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the humor is supposed to be the absurdity of somebody in, like, a little hornet costume or something, just doing everyday regular stuff, and nobody really acknowledging it other than, like, every now and then a little slip of the tongue. But it's just... It's really, really, really dry. Like,
yeah.
Japanese humor is known to be dry, but that's kind of in the same way that British humor is known to be dry. And I can enjoy both of those on their own.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like it is a different rung of humor below that. I don't know. I just didn't
really... I think the problem is that the humor is okay, but it's the problem with it is that it's only a straight man on screen. There's like, you know, comedy usually takes the form of, you know, there's either a punchline or there's somebody you bounce the comedy off of, and there's no one reacting to him. Here's what it is. I think it's because we're North American. I think if you are Japanese living in Japan, or at least like in a metropolitan center in Asia, you could be in Seoul, you could be in Hong Kong, anything like that, you would empathize more, and that's where the humor is. But we don't empathize very much because we don't live that lifestyle. We don't have that sort of cultural attachment to his everyday, like, salaryman lifestyle that just happens to be a supervillain in this case. There's like a little, I guess that's like some of the absurdity there. I think that's the issue. It's not a bad show. I think some part of me enjoys this show. I just don't enjoy it enough to weirdly say, I don't enjoy it enough to laugh.
Yeah.
But I enjoy
You're
it.
You're just like our boy in the ninja show.
Yeah, man. Wow. That show's really changed every aspect of me, you know?
Yeah.
But like, again, I don't have anything that I would hold against the show. I like that it's very digestible for the same reason. 3 minute episodes. Mm. I can't argue.
If I had to compare Ganglion to any other media, imagine the Monty Python Ministry of Silly Walks skit. But instead of the whole part of the guy getting into the Ministry of Silly Walks, literally just the intro bit where it is our boy who works at the Ministry of Silly Walks walking to the Ministry of Silly Walks, where he's just doing the silly walk on the street of London, nobody acknowledging the fact that he's doing very silly walks. That is the entire show. Just the situational absurdity of what your boy is doing.
But there's no payoff. Mm. There's no punch. That's the point.
It doesn't feel like it anyway. Have. But maybe that's the point.
Mm-hmm. It's actually probably... I think it's like a critically fun show. If you're a Japanese critic of anime, I just don't think it's for us. I think we are the wrong like audience for it entirely, unfortunately.
Possible.
Like, I feel like I'm almost there because I have literally been in some of the work situations ya boy has been in, except instead of being in like a little hornet minion costume, I was just wearing a bell uniform, you know? And I feel like that's the only joke they have.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not much else to say about this. We watched 3 episodes. It wasn't like the other show where we watched all 12.
Well.
Eh. That's not even the worst show. It's not even the worst show of this review.
To Watashi wo tabatai, hito dadashi. This monster wants to eat me. This show, I wanted to like it. I wanted to really become engrossed in it. Everything that this show is about is something that I usually enjoy. Which is going to be really bad when I say it's about depressed, sad girls and monsters who want to eat them.
Yeah, the man's got
how do they take that and make it bad?
And this is where I learned that apparently depression makes you taste better.
Well, then 14-year-old me would have been scrumptious.
I'm pretty sure after the additional many years after you were 14, Jay, and the sense of human dread that we have in a lot of other things in our adult life. Oh, existential dread?
That's just like the saffron of depression.
The saffron on top of it. I see. Add some extra savory in there.
Oh, absolutely.
This show looked good. I liked the way that it was drawn. I liked the way the backgrounds looked. I liked the way that the character designs were. I liked the way that the lines were delivered for everybody except our main girl. I even liked, even though I thought it was extremely egregious, how often they zoomed in on the eyes, because they drew the eyes in a really striking manner. But they were like, oh my god, this character is fucking crazy. They are depression crazy. They are not right in the head. And god damn it, it is so unbelievably slow.
I started getting really sleepy. And when I realized I was getting really sleepy, I was like, that's not good. Mm-hmm. I should stand up and move around.
I agree with Angelo in that I think the premise had promise.
It's a really strong premise.
It should be fun. I think it's the kind of show that is, for every type of media, there's an audience, and I think it is for a certain audience. And then I think that I'll be really sad if I find out I'm wrong, but I feel like the whole point of the show is that, you know, for this main character, her family dies. She's very upset about that to the point of depression. And then I think this whole show is supposed to be about, it's a little bit of Yuri bait, first of all. That's very obvious.
Oh, absolutely.
But second of all, it is supposed to be like she'll be uplifted out of her depression due to the relationship she starts establishing, and then she won't become as delicious anymore and she won't get eaten. And if that's not the story, I will, you know what, just hire me to write that story. Because that story hopefully plays out a lot better. Because if this show continues like this, it's basically unwatchable, unfortunately. Even with all the other nice things about it, it's basically unwatchable at this pacing.
Yeah. I, over the course of this show airing, I tried watching it and I couldn't make it more than 5 minutes in. Not going to lie. I heard multiple conflicting things. A lot of people really loved what it was trying to do and hated the execution.
Oh.
Oh, that's common.
Well, that tracks.
That's a thing.
Which is just really disappointing. Because the stuff that I like in it, I really, really, really did like. Like the whole battle sequence of the Isona and our Ningyo heroine, if you want to call her that, the monster who wants to eat our MC. That was super cool. I wanted more of that. That was great.
Does it happen more?
I don't know. Who knows? I just maybe I've just matured and now depression anime doesn't work on me anymore.
Yeah. I get it.
Let's see what happens next season when there's another depression anime.
Oh, like, yeah.
As much as we talk about, like, in the other shows we watched today about, like, the Ultimate Weapon Girls, and that's Saikano-esque, the actual tone of this show is what it makes Saikano Saikano.
Not even
and
going
I
to lie.
I cannot endure another Saikano, okay?
You are so right.
I watched original Saikano. I have a very much a love-hate trauma relationship with that anime.
Everything that I hate about this is what I hated about Saikano and why I couldn't watch Saikano like 20 years ago.
Yes, like it's unfortunate because again, the premise should have almost automatically made it a very watchable, fun, or not, maybe fun's not the right word, but like an interesting show with depth. This ain't it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too bad.
I'm not even joking when I say this. I would absolutely enthusiastically watch Ninja versus Gokudo over this.
Oh, dear.
And that is saying a lot, because Ninja versus Gokudo is by Studio Deen. Do you know what Studio Deen did? Studio Deen did the original Fates Day Night anime.
Oh.
Studio Deen did the Umi Neko no Nako Koro ni anime, the fucking Umi Neko anime that practically killed Umi Neko. Studio Deen is where anime goes to die.
Those are very strong words.
Which is a really strong thing when my favorite anime so far this season is by Studio Deen.
Oh. Next season's gonna be a weird one.
Angelo's a
okay.
Deen. We're learning that Angelo's a Deen apologist.
Sometimes I just wake up at night. I wake up at night, my eyes grow wide, and I just yell, Deen!
That sounds about right.
And that's where we cut off this week's episode.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the review. Goodbye now.
Take care.